All right, another quick reminder. We got the Stanley Cup playoffs back in Better Than Ever tonight. Four game ones. The other four series start tomorrow. Pens and Rangers, 7 Eastern, Abs and Predators. Those are on ESPN, ESPN2. We got Caps, Panthers, Stars, and Flames. The road to the Cup is on, and we will be your tour guides through the entire time until someone is skating around with Lord Stanley's Cup in celebration. Legler is here. We got tons. Big Perk is coming up here as we are live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. We got controversy in the NBA. Roll it, Cindy. We got a lot to get to when it's time to get up with May Madness. Grizzlies, Golden State, game one. Good to the last drop, even though one big star wasn't there to see it. We will explain why. Meanwhile, Boston blown out. We'll tell you who is really to blame for the Celtics' sluggish game one performance. It's not who you think it is. And then, oh, by the way, the draft was this weekend. Did the Packers see their windows slammed shut? We've got winners and losers, because what happened in Vegas will definitely not stay in Vegas. Let's dive in. Timmy Legler, let's look at the thriller of the day yesterday. Ja and the Grizzlies, Steph and the Warriors. Sign me up for 7, just like this one. What a great game this was. Now, the controversial moment came early in the, late, in the first half. That's Draymond Green. He got thrown out. Did you like it?
Did not like it at all. Didn't like it live. Didn't like it even more when I saw the replay eventually. I think it has a lot more to do with Draymond Green's reputation than the actual play.
He got a flagrant two. You'll hear from him in a moment. We'll get everybody's perspective. In the meantime, the fourth quarter was unreal. And Jordan Poole has become such a weapon.
Four games with 25 points already in the postseason on 60% shooting. That's elite level scoring. They're able to overcome Clay struggling.
He made 5 threes. Meanwhile, Ja Morant was sensational in the paint where he always is. He had 34. How about Steph stepping back?
Yeah, Jaren Jackson was sensational, but that's just too much to ask of a big man on the step back three.
And then look at Ja Morant. Bear in mind, he's going left. So much of this game going with a left-hand layup. I just want you to file that away in the back of your head. Here's more from Ja going left. He would score 34. That one gave the Grizzlies a 2-point lead. Then Clay, who did not have a good night, hit a big shot.
Huge. He struggled, but man, does he have confidence right here. Great up fake. Bane goes by. One step to the left. Biggest shot of the night for Golden
State. Now, Ja looking to beat Steph. Oh, how about Steph Curry with the D?
Yeah, great rake. And when I saw it live, I thought he had to have gotten hit. But when you watch the replay, that's all ball. Steph Curry comes up with the deflection. Golden State runs down the loose ball.
The Grizzlies are forced to foul. Took them forever to do it. So then Clay winds up at the free throw line. He's a great foul shooter, but he missed the first, and now he missed the second. Now, the referees cannot decide who this went out off of, even though that's their job. And then so they wind up with a jump ball. Grizzlies get it. They call an immediate timeout, and here's the play they run. It's a great play. Ja with a full head of steam. But Clay Thompson remembered he is going left. And he dives there and makes the defensive play. Draymond says, thanks for picking me up, fellas. The Warriors hold on and they win game one on the road. Now, here's Draymond Green, who recorded a podcast after the game talking about the ejection.
I think tonight was probably a reputation thing more so than a hard foul. By definition, if we go through the definition of a flagrant two foul, I'm not sure that play would quite be the definition of a flagrant foul. I'm not sure it would meet that criteria.
That's what he said. I want to make it clear exactly how this broke down. He got thrown out of the game. He waved at all the fans. He hugged all his teammates. He didn't talk to the media. He went back to the hotel and he recorded a podcast. That was the day that Draymond Green had. So again, Wendy, and we welcome Big Perk for the first time this morning and the first time in far too long. Perk, just a direct question. Did Draymond deserve to be thrown out for that play?
Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Greeny, you know what? As an enforcer in the league, a role that I play, absolutely he deserved to get thrown out. Look, You have to set the law at some type of standard and lay down some type of rules. Listen, the man once slapped him across his face, okay, and then pulled his jersey down, which Brandon Clark was really kind of helpless at that point. And look, the league got to protect all players, because we know if this was the other way around and say Brandon Clark would have did a play like this on Steph Curry, you know, nobody would have been complaining, or if he would have did it on Klay Thompson. Look, we can't look at the name on the back of the jersey. All players have to be protected. And I thought at that moment that was the appropriate call that the referees made last night.
Listen, I was a big fan when I was younger of a horror movie called Invasion of the Body Snatchers. What happened to Kendrick Perkins? This is not Kendrick Perkins. This is not Kendrick Perkins. Listen, the smell test, Perk, I know how you would have reacted if you got tossed for that. I hear you. Now, listen, you got a different role, I understand, but listen, here's what I'm saying. Watching it live, and this is where I come down with the part of the officials. Watching it live, I thought to myself, yeah, the jersey grab, clearly, man. Oh, they're going to look at the jersey grab. The referees on the court didn't even know he made contact with his face. My point being, it wasn't egregious enough that everybody understood he hit him in the head when he would try to swipe down and grab his arm. That's first. Secondly, define windup. He slides over, his arm is already in the air, and he just rakes down toward the ball, and really was trying to hit him on the arm to prevent him from getting his hands above his head. I just don't get where you get a windup from that play. That's just a swipe down that happens every time a guy goes to the rim. The jersey grab to me is absolutely the worst of the two. And I think ultimately that's what cost him. But even on that, he did try to catch him before he hit the ground. I just don't think in a playoff game,
Perk,
it warrants it.
Perk, one more comment. Go.
Yeah, well, Lex, listen. I got thrown out of the game before for actually bumping heads with Tyreek Evans, okay? It wasn't even a headbutt. But they said just because we tapped heads and I came and made contact, I was suspended for the next game. This is before the instant replay. Anytime you get hit in the face, we all know they're going to the review board, and it's a possibility you're going to get a flagrant one. Now, all of a sudden, with the jersey pull, it didn't have to be a windup in this play. It's just that this guy, Brandon Clark, was defenseless. You got to protect all players. It don't matter what the name of the back of the jersey or how physical we want the game to be. This is not wrestling. This is not football. We're talking about the game of basketball. Yes, you want it to be a little physical, but at the end of the day, you still wanted to protect the players.
Let me get Wendy in here. Wendy, what did you think? And also, for the audience just joining us, explain the significance of a decision that has not yet been made.
Yeah, so why would Draymond do this podcast after the game? Well, great content for a podcast, of course, but he was making an appeal. He was making an appeal to the league office. He wants this downgraded today from a flagrant 2 to a flagrant 1, not just to save money, but also because he's aware the Warriors are in for a long playoff run. He now has 2 flagrant 2 points. You get 4, you get suspended. That is what happened to him in the 2016 finals. He did not get suspended for game 5 back then because he hit LeBron in the groin. He got suspended for accumulation of flagrant foul points. So it'll be fascinating to see, with people in both ears of the league office today, what Perk and Legs are just saying, people on both sides making this case to the league office, whether they let the call stand or they peel it back to a flagrant 1. And I absolutely think they could go either way. It's going to be fascinating.
It's an important decision. All right, everyone stay right where you are. We're coming back with much more on the basketball as we go. Big Perk, it is great to have you back again. In the meantime, let me hand out draft grades, because the NFL draft has come and gone. Tannenbaum, the Patriots, what grade would you give their draft?
Greedy, I'm only going to give them a C+. I actually like Cole Strange, the offensive lineman, but sitting there was Trent McDuffie at 21. They need a corner. They've lost Stephon Gilmore. They've lost J.C. Jackson. They couldn't get off the field against Buffalo. It's a generous C+ at that.
Graziano, how about the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets?
I mean, you got to give them an A. I mean, they crushed the first round, right? I mean, you get Sauce Gardner, the cornerback, at that number 4 pick. You get Garrett Wilson, some people had as the best receiver in the draft. You get Jermaine Johnson, trade up to get him at the back end of the round. This was a guy that people were talking about going top 10 before the round started. I haven't talked to anybody who thinks that the Jets didn't do a great job this weekend.
Plus Breece Hall, plus Jeremy Ruckert. Yes, it was an outstanding weekend for the Jets.
Orlovsky,
what grade do you give the Packers?
I'm going WTF+. Like, what the fudge plus? Like, listen, the plus becomes you're a better football team. I'm with that. You got good football players, a great defense from Georgia. Awesome. I don't think you're any closer to winning Super Bowl than I did when you started this draft. We all know what the flaws of this football team were, or where the needs of this football team were, given where they were last year and then the loss of Davante Adams. You're not going to win the Super Bowl because your defense goes from top 10 to second. You're not going to win the Super Bowl because you give up 13 points in the playoffs, and this time you'll give up 10. They needed skill position help. I thought they needed to draft two receivers early or make a move to go get one, and they didn't do either of that.
So a couple of things. One, Dan is the only person on television who can actually speak aloud the acronym, because for him, it's what the fudge.
What the fudge, right.
he's the only person. But that's just
that's
how we talk.
Self-discipline, Greeny. And also, I was the kid. I feel bad for kids nowadays that don't get the report card sent home, because I was the kid that would, like, run to the mailbox, know when it was coming home, take it out, get the eraser, change the grade or whatever the conduct was, fill it in, and then give it to my parents. Like, here, I'm killing it in school.
I like it. That they would say, what the fudge. But anyway, so then let's circle back, because what we have here with the Packers is a fascinating sort of dichotomy within their own organization. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but Graziano, you have repeatedly made the point. This is not a team that drafts for now. This is not a team that acts with urgency, that does not have a win now philosophy. It has a big picture philosophy. And I get that. And it certainly has served them well. But when you have a quarterback the age of Aaron Rodgers, who has made it very clear that he is operating on a year-to-year basis, for the organization to not also, to at least some degree, operate year-to-year does not feel to me like good business.
They have, to at least some degree. If you look at the work they've done on their contracts the last couple of years to keep the team as much as they possibly could, and to, you know, push money into future years, that's not something the Packers like to do.
Right.
And they've been willing to do it because they do recognize Aaron Rodgers on the short window. But that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily change the way they draft. They were wide open to taking a wide receiver in the first round. Absolutely. They had five or six guys they would have been happy with. What they didn't do, and I think what Orlovsky's referencing, they didn't trade up for one.
Right.
Like some of these other teams.
Like New Orleans did.
But the price for trading up was significant. I mean, when you look at what Detroit did, when you look at what New Orleans did, like that was a lot, and they just felt like the value was more where those defensive players were.
What did you think of that, Michael?
Yeah, I think the juxtaposition is, I love what Detroit did. Jamison Williams, when healthy, is the second or third.
They moved up 20 spots to take a receiver.
Right, and he may be Tyreek Hill, so I love that. And when you have Aaron Rodgers in this win-now mode, like, I understand why people are saying they should go for it from that standpoint.
Let me push back on Dan, though, a touch. Because generally speaking, Dan Orlovsky, Dan, I agree with you. But here's what I would say. I don't think there was any rookie they could have taken that would have made me think, and that's why I want to ask it to you, oh, they're good now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I believe all along, to replace Davante Adams, they need someone with NFL experience ready to step in and be Aaron Rodgers' number one guy. And I don't think anyone in the draft is ready to do that either way. Does that make sense? And if so, who's that guy they could still get?
Well, no. I thought there were three kids in the draft that fit that guy criteria. The two kids from Ohio State.
If they put Garrett Wilson on Green Bay right now, you'd say, oh, they're good?
I feel like they're going to be very similar to who they were last year. Absolutely. Huh. Even Chris Olave and even Jamison Williams. Remember, I was the guy saying go get Jamison Williams because you're in the playoffs. The Packers are going to be a playoff football team. You don't need them till relatively January. Here's my pushback with the OBJ stuff. I think, obviously, OBJ is incredible, all that stuff. I get concerned with how much money it is going to cost the Green Bay Packers to pull him from L.A. because I imagine he wants to stay in L.A. with the Rams, living there. How much it's going to cost you with knowing that even when you get into January, you're, 9.5 months removed from an ACL surgery, his second in the last 3 years? So that's my kind of hesitation. I have this with Graziano, because Graziano, I think, brings up a good point that they've broken their mold when it comes to pushing money towards the future. So why then draft for the future? You're pushing money there. And so what's the point of taking a receiver that you think in 3 or 4 years is going to be a good developmental player when you are aware that salary cap-wise, you're probably not going to be in a good spot anyway?
That's even more reason to draft for the future, because you're going to need guys on rookie contracts that aren't going to crush you on
the
salary cap.
So what's the point of doing it?
You're carrying extra salary cap money. The point of doing it is to keep Aaron Rodgers. Everything for the past year has been focused on keeping Aaron Rodgers in the building. And they managed to pull that off, right? They have to convince him that they're doing the things that he wants to do to win now.
So let me frame it up, because again, every conversation we've had today, we could do 30 more minutes. Candidly, I'm petitioning now. I need 4 hours. but anyway, Orlovsky, are the Packers a Super Bowl contender in your mind right now?
No, I don't think so, Greeny. You started to hint at this. Think of the other teams in their conference that made moves on draft weekend. The Arizona Cardinals got a receiver. The New Orleans Saints got a receiver. The Philadelphia Eagles got a receiver. Shoot, the Detroit Lions got a guy. So if I sat there and did not believe all spring, I said, I don't believe that the Packers with their receivers are Super Bowl contenders. Playoff team, yes. Super Bowl contenders, no. And they didn't really add to that, then no, they're not Super Bowl contenders.
All right, let me leave it there. The Davante Adams thing could wind up being one of the biggest offseason moves we've seen in a very long time. Coming back with more. In the meantime, we're going back to the blowout in Boston as well. We haven't touched on that in a while. Just what the heck went wrong for the Celtics in game one? We'll tell you who deserves the blame. It's not who you think. Then we'll get back to football. Lamar not happy about the Ravens trading his best receiver. So why does Orlovsky think that one actually made all the sense in the world? And we got Sneaky Hembo and Graziano. This is a great matchup. Who was the leading wide receiver in Ravens history by yards amongst players they actually drafted? That's a great question, and the answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
With all the talk about Ravens receivers, here's the question from Hembo. Graziano's loosening up. Who was the leading wide receiver in Baltimore history among players they drafted?
McKinnon said, I got to be quick. My guess is going to be Torrey Smith, our friend Torrey Smith.
And I will be quick. That's correct.
Hembo
is devastated. Torrey Smith is right, followed by Mark Clayton, Travis Taylor, and then Marquise Hollywood Brown.
Okay.
Chalk that one up for Graziano. He's up 13-9. So a field goal doesn't tie it at this point. Let's talk about that trade. The reason this is a topic, because Hollywood Brown's been traded away to the Cardinals in exchange for the third round pick and the 23rd pick in this draft. And Lamar Jackson seemed to be unhappy about it. We'll just show you all the things that he tweeted here. He had like a bunch of emojis. He tweeted WTF, which Danny already told us means what the fudge. So we all understand he seems unhappy about it, although it is relatively clear from everything they've told us that he must have known this was coming because Hollywood Brown requested a trade and was actually at the Cardinals draft party. So I have two topics I want to get to on this, so let's be quick. Orlovsky, first, you just told us that the Packers not getting a receiver kind of dooms them. What does trading away Hollywood Brown do for the Ravens?
Allows them to play their best brand of football. I think this is the best Maybe I'll talk best version of the Baltimore Ravens offense and Lamar Jackson. It's that 2019 world where they were the most difficult offense in the NFL to stop before the snap because they played with those three tight end packages. And I remember being on the big board, Greeny, it was like, you put these big bodies on the field, they're all good pass catchers, so how do you defend against that? And they're all good run blockers, so how do you defend against that? And I think this is a Ravens organization in the last three drafts has drafted six wide receivers. And that offense has never been what it was in 2019. And if you asked me this weekend, the two names that stood out, it would be tight end Charlie Kohler from Iowa State and tight end Isaiah Likely from Coastal Carolina. They still have Boyd and they still have Mark Andrews. And I think we're going to see this team go back to that three tight end package. You're going to see the best version or that 2019 version of this offense and certainly of Lamar Jackson. And I think that Ravens offense gets back to being one of the best in the NFL.
quickly, the Lamar Jackson not having a contract of this, how does that factor into everything, Mike?
Yeah, you got to take the temperature down. It's clear that he's emoting via social media. He's your star player, MVP, face of your franchise. Get him signed. Now, it's complicated, Greeny. He's his own agent. I hate that from a team perspective. But Deshaun Watson signed. Get the deal done, and I think they'll bring the noise down.
Okay, so we have that. Then, Graziano, let's get to a different piece of this. Now, Hollywood Brown and Lamar Jackson are the best of friends, and yet Hollywood Brown requested a trade. I think there was sort of a creeping feeling here that everyone likes Lamar Jackson, and everyone wonders at his talent. But wide receivers, I think there's a growing wonder if wide receivers don't want to go there.
It has been challenging for the Ravens to get free agent wide receivers to sign there, and it's not because of Lamar Jackson. You're right, everybody loves Lamar Jackson. It's the way the offense operates. It's the run heaviest offense in the league. So, you know, if I'm a wide receiver, I don't want to go someplace where they're going to be run dominant, because then I'm not going to be able to put up my numbers. That's why they draft Rashad Bateman in the first round last year, and they have to find different ways of getting receivers in there. So it has been an issue that Baltimore's dealt with, and I think it'll continue to be one. Having not heard from Hollywood Brown, I think it's safe to presume that he wanted to be somewhere where he could show off his skills a little more.
Yeah, I mean, he was going into the last year of a contract, and he wanted to be in a place where he could put up huge numbers because he thinks he's not being utilized to the best of his own individual ability. So, Danny, with that thought in mind, we've had so many conversations about do they need to continue to evolve their passing game in order to go to the next level. Are you telling me now those conversations, at least in your mind, should stop?
I think their passing game needs to become less predictable. You always want to evolve your passing game year to year. That's how you stay ahead of what defenses are going to try to do to you. I think they tried to do that a little bit, candidly, Greeny. We saw them push the ball downfield a little bit early on last season, and then they had some success with it. And then it started to peel back as injuries started to show themselves again. I believe, and I have been adamant, that this is the best version of the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, when they have those multiple tight ends. When they drafted Lamar, they went all in on this philosophy, as they should have. It was the right decision. We also don't know what the Buffalo Bills are going to become this year, because they're the case study of tons of money at quarterback, tons of money at wide receiver. And for the theory of, well, it's a tough place for free agent wide receivers to go to for Baltimore, we don't know if that model is actually going to work when it comes to having to pay both of those positions premier money.
That's fair. And we've seen teams trade away those high-priced guys in Green Bay and in Kansas City. 30 seconds, Tannenbaum. What do you think?
I think Dan's completely wrong. They drafted Hollywood Brown the first round because they need an explosive element in offense, and he hasn't been great. Does have 21 touchdowns, and he can stretch the field. So as much as you want to control the field, when you're talking to defensive coaches, when you have to keep a safety back over the top, it impacts the spacing of everything else you want to do. So Hollywood Brown actually creates production for others.
Yeah,
I need double the time for every segment on this show today. I'm sorry, Danny. I'm up against the bottom of the hour. I got to take a short timeout. I need 4 hours on these Mondays. Okay, as we go on, the Eagles just got Jalen Hurts, the weapon that Baltimore doesn't have. Does that addition mean they're now the team to beat in the NFC East? We're talking about that next. We need more time. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up. Tim Legler's in our studio, and the Milwaukee Bucks, the defending NBA champs, made a statement yesterday in Boston, and that man right there, Legs, was doing most of the stating.
Yeah, aggressive from the jump, and it just the length and strength, it's just a different element that Boston's dealing with in this series as opposed to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
He's doing it all. Look at him here. Not only he goes to the hole, now he's finding the open man. That's Bobby Portis.
Yeah, a couple years ago, Giannis could not beat you with his passing. That's not the case now. That right there is an exception
personal find.
And then the defense there. So Portis had 15. Giannis had a block on Jason Tatum. He was doing it all. Now watch him here. He's also added this to the game, the nice footwork in the painted area.
The little mid-range shot. He's added a turnaround jumper in the post. He can make free throws more reliably. So the finesse part of the game is there for Giannis as well.
He had 24. Drew Holiday pull-up three. He had 25. At that point, Brad Stevens said, I'm going to beat the traffic and get out of here. And then 6.5 minutes to play. How about this? Look what Giannis is doing in a playoff game. Off the glass. Oh, are you serious? They threw it to himself, legs.
Jason Tatum, Al Horford couldn't believe what they were seeing underneath the basket.
Jaylen Brown, what the actual heck happened to you guys?
We got to be the harder playing team. And tonight they had a chip on their shoulder. They came in with an edge. They were locked in, and they punched us in the mouth.
Punched him in the mouth. And so let's bring in a man who has punched a few people in the mouth in his day. And that, of course, is Brian Windhorst plus Kendrick Perkins. Winnie, I wanted Big Perk to hear your take on what exactly, why you think the Celtics were so ill-prepared for this game yesterday.
This was a Nets hangover, in my opinion. I know the Celtics had the scouting report. I know they've played against the Bucks before. But actually going out there, after you played one of the smallest and softest defenses for four games, to play one of the biggest and most fierce defenses. And look, I actually remember when Big Perk's teams in Oklahoma City a decade ago, when teams would come in there and play Westbrook and Durant and Serge and Perk, passes that they could throw the night before when they were in Dallas or New Orleans didn't go through. And when I watched this game in the Garden yesterday, I saw a team that was shell-shocked. That was backed up. Ime Udoka said we were caught off guard by their physicality. Jaylen Brown said they were surprised by the difference. It was a real eye-wakener, and they're going to have to completely change their attack and their preparedness for tomorrow's game, too.
What do you think of that, a Big Perk?
You know what, Wendy? I'm not going to sit up here and say that you're wrong because I absolutely agree with you. Here's the part that's concerning. How are you caught off guard when you're actually facing the best player in the NBA in Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? It's no reason to be caught off guard. You know what to expect out of Giannis. We know what to expect out of Giannis since the past 3 years. Here's the thing about the game last night. Not only did he impose his will and dominate in the paint, and he shot 9-for-25 from the field, but it's the other things that Giannis does around the table. Y'all talked about it, making guys around him better. Right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo is giving me that LeBron James with the Cleveland Cavaliers vibes, meaning that any team that's trying to come out of the Eastern Conference, I think Giannis is going to be standing in that way. Here it is. I have the Celtics. I picked the Celtics winning this series in seven. And the reason I said seven is because I'm actually afraid of this beast, this killer right here, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that's why I say it might be a slight edge for them in seven games for the Celtics to win. But if Giannis is going to approach the game the way that he did yesterday, the Celtics are going to be in big trouble, especially without Marcus Smart being 100%.
Let me ask you quickly, though, Big Perk. Did yesterday change your mind? You had the Celtics to win the series before. Having seen one game, do you still believe Boston wins?
Greeny, you know one thing about me. I'm going to go down with the ship if it's going to go down. Leg said this. If Titanic is sinking, I'm going to be on the boat. I'm too big to get a life jacket, and I'm too heavy to try to get in one of those small boats. I'm going down with the ship. So if I pick the Celtics, I'm going to ride with them. Celtics in seven.
How about you, Leg?
I took the Bucks to win this series, and it's primarily because I just thought Giannis Antetokounmpo is a guy that's going to be able to do what he does against any defense, and I didn't know if Boston was going to be able to deal with that. The key for me is the three-point shooting. I said 12 to 15 makes per night. That's what Milwaukee was going to have to give Giannis. They made 12, and they made 10 amongst their four main shooters. To me, that is going to be the relief valve for the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's what's scary about what happened yesterday. Think about this. He missed 16 shots from the field.
Right.
He missed 5 free throws. He had 5 turnovers. That might be Giannis's worst game of the entire series.
Yeah.
And they still won the game. Mm-hmm. That's how dominant he is. And Drew Holiday was sensational, by the way. When Giannis got his fourth foul in an 8-point game, Drew Holiday carried them offensively to maintain that lead until he got back. So I want to give him a little shout out too, because I haven't heard Drew Holiday's name mentioned. He was sensational yesterday as well.
All right, so those two series got underway yesterday. We cover them. We will look ahead as we go here with the two others that start tonight. Big Perk, great to see you. We will do this plenty as we go down the road.
You too,
Wendy, great. Thank you so much for getting up early in Boston for us today. Awesome. Meanwhile, let me go back to the draft here. It's just such a busy morning here. Back to my NFL guys. And Orlovsky, let me come to you. Now that the draft dust has settled, generally speaking, these teams are what they are going to be. Oh, there you are. Sorry. Now, these teams generally are what they are going to be. As of this moment, give me a fundamental list. Who are the five best teams in the NFC in order? Go.
Starting with five, Greeny, right?
Yes.
Correct? Okay. Number five, I'm going to put the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, I love what they did in their draft with the selection of Jordan Davis at the big defensive tackle position. But really getting the trade done for A.J. Brown diversifies this offense so much. Not only are they more talented, but they're also guys that are in really specific roles that are going to allow that offense to thrive and play big-time football with Jalen Hurts. Number four, that's where I will put the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, the number one seed coming off of last year beefed up their defensive line a ton in the draft. I just don't think that makes them that much of a different contender when it comes to the Super Bowl. Christian Watson's going to have to play awesome football for them to get back to being that number one seed. Number three, I'm going to go to the New Orleans Saints, man. I think the Saints are primed to be really, really good this year. Alvin Kamara coming back is going to be one of the more dynamic backs in football, but Chris Olave plus Michael Thomas, those are two new pieces to the offense that they didn't have last year. Jameis Winston's healthy. Trevor Penning at tackle. Their draft pick's got to play good football. And if he does, that team's going to be very good. Number two, I'll go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In the addition of Tom Brady via coming out of retirement is massive. I thought that they had a really sound draft when it comes to adding defensive tackle help, adding running back help. If that offensive line is able to stay healthy and Chris Godwin comes back from that ACL injury later on in this season, obviously going to be a Super Bowl contender. And number one is still the Los Angeles Rams. The Los Angeles Rams brought back really key pieces throughout this offseason. They didn't really have many picks because they won the Super Bowl and said blank those picks, but still have a dominant defensive line and one of the best players of football. Matthew Stafford is going to continue to have all the weapons that he is needed. I think that they're the team to beat in the NFC, certainly one of the top two teams to beat in all of football.
Yeah, the Rams, I don't even know why they bother showing up for the first night of the draft because they just never have a first-round pick. All right, so those are the five. And candidly, I agree with it. But I'm sure a lot of people are looking at that list and saying the Eagles are on it and the Cowboys are not. That will get some attention. Tannenbaum, what do you think?
I think he's completely wrong again. And here's why. They have the better quarterback. And Dallas, they lost a couple of really key pieces. Amari Cooper, they lost Lyle Collins. But Tyler Smith is going to replace Collins. And when you look at the depth that they threw at defensive end, Dante Fowler, Dorrance Armstrong, and then they took Sam Williams from Ole Miss in the second round. So they put a lot of resources, what they were missing. And the bottom line is this. Who do we trust with 2 minutes to go in a game? Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts?
Stop.
That's not
even close. Stop. 2 minutes left in a game is not a good argument for the Cowboys, Mike. I'm sorry.
You want to go back in time?
You know, maybe.
You lost me at 14 seconds, to be completely honest with you. Graziano, jump in here. What do you think?
Look, I mean, I don't mind. I would put the Packers ahead of the Saints, but I get the point he's making, and I do think the Saints are a legitimate threat this year. You know, he's talking about likelihood to win the Super Bowl, right? I would think the Packers end up with a better record than some of these teams because I don't know who's going to push them in their division.
Yeah.
Right?
But did the division get better? Did the Packers' road through the NFC North get more challenging? I mean, I get that the Lions feel like they got a lot better. They had a long way to go to sort of push Green Bay, and so did Minnesota.
That road is not as long as you think, though, Greeny.
No.
I mean, the Lions are definitely closer to the Packers than people think. The Vikings are as well. Remind everybody, last year when the Vikings played their guys, they beat the Packers. And the Vikings also had a really good draft, a new infusion of coaching and whatnot. The NFC North is a much closer division than people are expecting it to be. Mm. I understand that the Packers still had a solid draft. I will contend that without the threat of skill position people, run first offense or not, this is a division that is not going to be as easy as it has been in the past. The Saints beat their doors off. I understand it was week one last year. They beat the doors off the Packers last year. So I don't believe that anybody can argue that the Packers are in the totality of their football team. Mike T, I understand you think quarterbacks, I wish I was a free agent quarterback for you. I really do. You might have overpaid me. Probably not, but you might have. But in the totality of rosters, the Rams have a better roster. The Bucs have a better roster. The Saints have a better roster. And those teams within the division, Minnesota and Detroit, have closed the gap.
And really will then come down to just how much more important is the quarterback than everything else combined. Because no one is disputing that Rodgers is the best of all the people we're talking about. And no one is disputing that Dak Prescott, as of this moment, is better than Jalen Hurts. Right. But it does feel, I kind of lean towards Dan, that if you look at everybody else, the other 52 people who put on a uniform on Sundays, I'd like the other teams he's talking about.
Yeah, I think the difference, though, Detroit, Jared Goff has played good football. He's played in a Super Bowl. And Dan Campbell, I work with him in Miami, he's an outstanding coach. So I do agree Detroit's coming on Green Bay. And I do think Goff has a little bit more of an upside than Hurts does in Philadelphia.
And so final question for you, Graziano. Who has the – because you know we will fight over this like all year long. You know our show better than anybody does. Eagles, Cowboys right now, which way are you leaning in that NFC East as of this moment?
I would lean the Eagles. It's been – 18 years Kenny since the G, NFC East has had a repeat champion. I know it won't be the Cowboys. That's the
you,
only thing we know for
I'm
sure.
I'm proud of you. Yeah. Greeny, I'm going to ask one last question.
Go.
Who would you rather have skill position-wise, Minnesota and Detroit or Green Bay? Not comparison. Who would you rather have skill position-wise, Philadelphia or Dallas?
No, I think that's right. I think he's right. I mean, to be honest with you, I actually agree with his list. I would put the
don't
list in
so
almost exactly. But there's too many ifs
so
in New
surprised.
Orleans. Michael Thomas has got to be back and be healthy. Jameis Winston has to be healthy. If you could promise me those two things right now, I would agree with it completely.
And they have a new head coach, and even though he's done it before, there are going to be some growing pains there.
All right, we'll see what happens. As we continue, there's another huge story in the NFL. The draft, it came, it went. Debo Samuel didn't go anywhere. We have the very latest on what happens next for that disgruntled wide receiver. Can they find a way to make him gruntled? We'll find out. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Start your mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern, they answer the pressing questions around the sports world.
Let's talk about Steph's legacy.
They're going to probably draft an explosive guy.
And deliver their hot takes on breaking news and new developments.
The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Tune in every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
All right, we're back, and after the draft comes and goes, let's play a game called Where Will They Play? Dan Graziano, what will become of Tyrann Mathieu?
It sounds like he might actually be getting close to signing with the New Orleans Saints. This is something that has been in the works for a little while. They get through the draft. They don't add at that position. They revisit it, bringing him back home. He's a Louisiana native. Just keep an eye. If they are going to sign him, they're going to wait till after 4 p.m. Eastern today to do it, because if you do it after then, it doesn't hurt you in next year's compensatory draft pick formula.
All right, that's interesting. We've talked a lot about wide receivers that are out there. How about Jarvis Landry?
Jarvis Landry, I think, ends up going back to the Cleveland Browns ultimately. He was trying to pair up with Deshaun Watson, right? He was going to go to New Orleans if he went there, Atlanta if he went there. Watson ends up back in Cleveland, which is complicated because the Browns cut Landry. So there's a little bit of finessing of the relationship that still has to be done. But while I could see Philly or Pittsburgh or a team like that, I'm gonna pick Cleveland.
All right, maybe Green Bay. We'll talk about that later.
Yep.
Debo Samuel, what's going to happen with him?
I'm going to keep him in San Francisco for now. Look, I mean, the draft came and went, and he wasn't moved, which tells you a couple things. One, the Niners really don't want to move him, and they feel like they can maybe resolve this and patch up the relationship. We'll see if that's possible. But at this point, it seems unlikely that Debo would be moved anytime soon. Unless he starts to apply some sort of pressure by virtue of what Tannenbaum calls a hold-in.
Well, that's the thing here, right? Is that players used to hold out from training camp if they didn't want to go to a team. And now they put it in the collective bargaining agreement. Well, if we do that, then, you know, these guys are going to forfeit all this money. Now they do something that for the team is even worse, right? They show up, so they get paid, and they feign an injury or whatever it is, and now you got a problem.
That's exactly right, Greg. It's called the hold in. We saw that with Jalen Ramsey, and that's how eventually he left Jacksonville for the Rams, and the rest is history. So something weird is going on here because this market is just too well defined. San Francisco is too good of an organization that if it was an economic situation, guys, this would be resolved. So something is going on here. And if I'm San Francisco, you're trying to get a new quarterback established in Trey Lance, I would work really hard, either resolve the non-economics or move on and cut your losses. Because as we were talking about earlier, Green, the last thing you want is this guy to show up and be on the sidelines.
But what are you trading him for now? The draft is coming and gone. You're trading him for next year's draft picks?
Yeah, it's better than having that distraction. Ask Jacksonville. That did not end well for them.
No, I get it. But, I mean, the time to do this would have been last week, not this week.
100%. It's not ideal, but I think it's the least of the two options.
Remember, Niners don't have a first-round pick next year either because of the Trey Lance deal. So that could be enticing.
Quick thought on this, Danny, before I jump to something else. The Debo of it all.
I think he stays in San Francisco because you're going to trade a what you don't know that first-round draft pick to be for Debo Samuel. Like, you might trade him to a team that you believe is going to have a bad record, and all of a sudden they're, you know, in the final four, so to speak, and you're getting the 29th pick of the NFL draft. I don't think anything changes unless something changes. And the two things that could change would be the San Francisco 49ers becoming public, saying, yes, we are willing to entertain trading him, which they have been adamant they're not, or Debo Samuel coming out and saying, I am never playing for the 49ers again, and I don't care how much the holdup, quote-unquote, costs me to do so.
All right, so we'll see where all of that winds up. So, having said all of this, and a lot of words have been spoken about the draft, I asked everyone at the table, and Danny as well, to just give me the one big picture takeaway. Now that the draft has come and gone, Graziano, what is your big picture takeaway from this year's NFL draft?
That wide receiver is the new quarterback in terms of roster building, right? Like, you now have to budget significant money, significant resources for this position. This is a position where the stars can force their way out if they don't like their situation. All the stuff that we always said, it'll only be the quarterbacks that get to do it, the wide receivers are starting to do it as well.
Well, you know, interesting, because I talked about this with Lewis Riddick on the set during the draft, and he said, this is going to come down to a philosophical discussion within team buildings and about team building, which is to say, A, we're a team that's willing to take on A.J. Brown and spend all that money, or Tyreek Hill, or whatever it is, or the other side of it, which is we took 17 wide receivers in the first couple of rounds this year, setting an all-time record. Just keep, you know, a revolving door of those guys coming and going. That I think, is that teams are going to have to choose which side of that they want to be on.
Yeah, and Tennessee basically said, look, Treylon Burks isn't as good as A.J. Brown, but he's not, you know, $15 million difference. So, like, teams are going to have to make that debate.
All right, next. Mike T., what was your big picture takeaway?
Well, speaking of receivers, the Philadelphia Eagles have set them up perfectly. So the next disgruntled quarterback, they'll be in perfect position to attract them. So now you have A.J. Brown, you have Devontae Smith. So the Eagles can make a run at a disgruntled quarterback, or they have two first-round picks. So Jalen Hurts, you are on the clock.
You can't wait to fire Jalen Hurts, man.
Yeah, yeah, right? How about that? Go, Danny.
They're also having those two first-round picks, which will be a loaded class for next year's college quarterbacks coming out. I will say, from a person who was skeptical from the start, I was wrong on that. Pump the brakes on Jalen Hurts not being the guy in Philadelphia in the future. All we've seen this young man do is develop and develop and develop. So, yes, they look like a really good roster, but I think it will be Jalen Hurts' roster.
Yeah, but again, he was 26th in the NFL in completion percentage. That matters.
All right, let's go to the next big picture takeaway. Orlovsky, as we sat back and watched, what were the primary thoughts entering your mind?
Yeah, that the New England Patriots and Green Bay Packers division rivals, or maybe not rivals, but the other members within their division, are closer than people are thinking. The Patriots had a solid draft, but the New York Jets had an incredible draft. And the Miami Dolphins have become a very good roster. And if Tua plays like a top five pick at quarterback, then that's going to be a difference maker. And for the Packers, I'm telling everybody, mark my words, the Vikings and the Lions are coming. The Lions are 2 years away from being awesome as a football team. They are going to be much improved this year. Both sides of the line of scrimmage are becoming a strength. They've got a sneaky, very good skill position group. And if Jared Goff plays good football, that's going to be a much better football team. The Vikings are right on the Green Bay Packers' heels.
What do you think of all that, Graziano?
He says Detroit's 2 years away. You know the Packers aren't thinking beyond this year. That's all I ever tell you. No, I'm kidding. Look, I don't
know.
New coaching staffs
and the front door, dude.
New coaching staffs in Minnesota, Chicago. I think the rest of that division has a lot more questions than answers.
Well, I have one big picture takeaway as well. And I just think this needs to be said. The New York Football Jets had the best draft in the history of the event. I'm not just saying that. The statistics, the numbers, the way these things are graded actually bear that out. No team since Scouts Inc. has been grading these people, no team ever drafted three guys with grades as high as the three guys the Jets got in the first round of the draft. Then they got the running back that I was hoping they were trading into the back of the first round to get, which is Breece Hall. Then they took a tight end. You want to talk about Baltimore being loaded up with tight ends. The Jets got Tyler Conklin, C.J. Uzomah, and now they drafted the kid Jeremy Ruckert. The Jets had the best weekend of any team in the NFL.
What could go wrong?
Well, I mean, everything always does go wrong is the problem. But, I mean, they've put themselves in a position for things to actually go. You know this better than anybody, Tannenbaum.
I resemble that comment.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And so we'll talk about this on the radio show. But, I mean, there are no excuses. They've got the pieces in place. It's time for the coach and the quarterback to prove they're ready.
The quarterback or the coach?
There's no excuses for the quarterback or the coach. Those guys have got to get it right now because they've got the pieces around them to do it. Okay, what do I got? Oh, the Stanley Cup playoffs. They begin tonight. Bruins, Hurricanes, 7 Eastern, followed by the Wild and the Blues on ESPN. On ESPN2, the Lightning square off against the Leafs at 7:30 Eastern, then the Kings and the Oilers. The road to the Cup is on, and it's here on ESPN. Coming up, First Take, top of the hour, talking about whether or not Draymond deserved to be ejected, plus how concerned the Celtics should be after a Game 1 blowout. Stephen A. Molly, Big Perk on the way, top of the hour on ESPN. Oh, it's going to be mayhem in this month for us. We got the Stanley Cup playoffs starting tonight. Then Saturday night, we got the NBA playoffs rolling on. Steph against Ja and company. We got UFC 274 on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Sunday on ABC, the F1, the first ever Miami Grand Prix. We are going to be jam-packed. It is such a good time of the year, and we are so grateful that you chose to get up with us today. I'm bringing these two guys with me over to ESPN Radio right now. Meanwhile, the fun continues here. First Take, take it away.